possible to love too much, to love everyone, even strangers, all of them, and to trust that everyone, the bus driver, the waitress in the diner, the guy panhandling on the corner, loves you back. Well, that is Williams syndrome. It's been called the opposite of autism. People with autism sometimes can't make eye contact. People with Williams can't stop, will come within inches and tell you you're the greatest thing that ever happened to them. It sounds charming. It can be at times. But imagine having a child who can't accept that not everyone should be trusted or hugged. Other traits include heart defects and distinct elf-like facial features. Author Jennifer Latson spent 3 years chronicling the challenges and joys faced by a single mom in Connecticut raising a son with Williams. She joins us. And Jennifer, you've changed names. You call the mother Gail, the son Eli. Start with Gail, a young mother, former hard rock and roller, lives a little on the edge, suddenly finds herself trying to become an expert on the syndrome that almost no one's heard of.
Right, exactly. And she actually got kind of lucky, although she didn't feel lucky at the time, that her son was diagnosed relatively young, because some people with Williams might not get diagnosed. It's a rare enough disorder. About 1 in 10,000 people has it. Unless a cardiologist happens to notice that you have a rare heart defect that's unique to Williams, a lot of people just could go years and years or their whole lives without getting diagnosed.
Or getting misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the heart defect. There are physical and emotional symptoms of this disorder, and it runs a gamut. Not everybody has all of them. What are some of the other things? There's a particular way the faces of people with Williams syndrome look.
Yes. So originally, Williams syndrome was actually called elfin face syndrome. So these characteristics are like what you would see in a storybook drawing of an elf. Upturned nose, narrow chin, pointed ears. People with Williams tend to look more like each other than they do their own family members. And it's a very cute elfin face.
Well, in fact, as you write, we're realizing now that perhaps some characters from literature who had cute elfin faces and this ability to just love everyone, Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream, may have had Williams.
Well, yeah, and folklorists believe that the actual fairy tales that had elves in them might have been kind of inventions to explain why these seemingly otherworldly people were here with us. So they weren't like the rest of us. Where did they come from? And you see the depictions of elves not only have those facial features, but they also have very outgoing, friendly, warm personalities like people with Williams. And they help people. They tell stories. They are very musical, which is also, those are some of the traits that go along with Williams.
But in Eli's case, they maybe don't remember to put their pants on, or they have trouble cleaning themselves. I mean, it is a full-time job for Gail to raise him.
Yes. There are symptoms of Williams that are kind of a strange grouping. So you have intellectual disability. It's around what people with Down syndrome have. So an average IQ around 50. But with that intellectual disability, there are abilities. Like, people with Williams tend to be very verbally gifted. They're very imaginative, and they're just very chatty in general and tend to be great at small talk.
Well, we start falling in love with Eli, but I don't want to leave Gail yet. What a mother. I mean, it's heartbreaking in some ways as she holds on to, you know, maybe he doesn't have this, maybe he doesn't have this, then he does. And then how she has to form this relationship with him where she has to listen to him ask her questions 1,000 times in a row. His enthusiasm for vacuum cleaners and floor polishers, a reaction to sound initially. They have a hard time taking in sounds.
Yes, they have something called hyperacusis. So their sense of hearing is very good, but it's also painful to hear certain sounds because it's so good. You know, they hear things so loudly. But then as they grow up, it often becomes a source of fascination. And that's what happened with Eli. He would watch YouTube videos of people vacuuming their floors. He especially loved this floor scrubber, the Tennant 5400. he loves that model. Every time I see one, like at the Home Depot or something, I'm tempted to take a picture and send it to him because he would just be thrilled.
Well, as an infant, he wanted to hug everybody. As he got older, Gail has to, you know, instruct him on, you know, shaking hands. You cannot hug everyone. What was it like to have this come your way, this affection?
at first, like you said, I was so just in love with Eli, and he's so adorable and charming, and you just want to be around him all the time. But what I really came to appreciate was how amazing Gail was. And to me, she really became the hero of this story, because she did go through this struggle every single day. She never got tired of it, that I could tell. You know, she never reached the end of her rope, and she was just like a one-woman anti-hug police. She was just on top of what was going on at all times and just trying to pull her son out of harm's way. But also, her big challenge in the years that I followed him was that kind of awkward transition of, when you're a little boy who hugs everyone, that's adorable. When you're a grown man who hugs everyone, that's assault. So she really wanted to prevent him from being taken advantage of, but also just becoming a pariah. Even when he knew it was wrong on an intellectual level, he just couldn't stop.
You know, that kind of gets at his awareness of what's going on, because, again, he's happy all the time or most of the time. And so as kids are maybe not being kind, as kids can be, he sort of doesn't notice it. But there's a point where they're behind a woman at a counter in a store, and Gail thinks, this woman's being way too nice. And the woman turns around, and sure enough, she has the features. And Eli says, she's like me. So he knows?
That was a stunning moment. I think Gail was more surprised than anyone. She had talked to him a little bit about Williams syndrome. I mean, he's not quite sophisticated enough to understand the nuances. So the fact that he recognized this woman was incredible. But then when Gail said, well, what does that mean? She's like you. He couldn't really explain himself. And she's asked him before, well, what is Williams syndrome? And I think because he's only gone to these sort of social events that are related to the Williams Syndrome Association, he said, well, Williams Syndrome is, it's like a party. She said, well, that's not far off.
It got very tough as he became a teenager and the hormones kick in. And, you know, he was touching himself, touching others inappropriately in school. Seeing him, you know, go through that period of being incredibly inappropriate now that he's older, what's his future?
Well, that was the number one concern for Gail throughout this whole time that I spent with them is, you know, he's growing physically. He's becoming an adult. He's angsty, but he doesn't have really the emotional or intellectual maturity to articulate what he's feeling. And sort of what ends up happening is, as he's maturing, he's also regressing. So during his early teens, he was throwing a lot of tantrums. He just didn't know how to express what he was feeling. And so he sometimes lashed out with physical violence against his mom and against his grandmother at one point. That was just really so heartbreaking, because he seemed like he was literally beside himself. He just didn't know how to convey or deal with these overwhelming feelings. And as soon as they subsided, you know, he was back to his lovable, cheerful, hugging self. But that was Gail's concern, is how is he ever going to be a mature, independent adult? Will he ever be independent? And those are some of the questions that she's still sorting out.
We should say that there are some people with Williams. There was one young girl you profiled who is, you know, gets A's in every class and is a classical musician. So there's a spectrum, and we'll see where Eli goes. But meanwhile, there are two moments where, just reading the paragraph, you know, you cry. I mean, one of them is Eli graduating from eighth grade. He goes up on the stage. Gail's there ready to record it. He gets up there and they cheer him, this huge ovation. And she realized they were fond of him.
Middle school was very tough for Eli. And there were some moments where he was getting bullied and teased. And Gail thought, oh my gosh, is this going to be the rest of his life? And that graduation moment really affirmed what she had hoped, which was, these kids were rooting for him. I mean, they were, in their own way, as protective of and supportive of him as she was. And that was obvious to her, too, when she visited the school once and got to know how much these kids really cared for him.
This was in his eighth grade science class. They were studying genetic syndromes, and she came to talk about Williams. Eli was not in the room. They were asking her sincere questions. What's going to happen to him? They wanted to know what was going to happen to him. And there's another moment, which we have to mention. He gets to run the floor polisher.
Oh, no, spoiler alert. This was something he was allowed to do every Friday in high school, his freshman year of high school, as part of vocational training. And he had begged for the chance to use this floor scrubber. And it was just amazing to watch how much joy there was. I think this was one of Gail's central struggles as she sort of shifted her understanding of what it would mean to be a parent once she found out that her kid had Williams. When he was born, there were all these possibilities that she could imagine for him, and she didn't necessarily think he would be a rocket scientist or the president or a brain surgeon, but those weren't off the table. And then she found out, okay, he has an intellectual disability. What is that going to mean? And when she thought, well, he might do some kind of, you know, low-skill labor, she was devastated and then wasn't sure that he would even be able to do that much. So when he finally was able to have the sustained attention and the discipline to clean a whole floor, I mean, that was just amazing for both of them.
Jennifer Latson, her new book is The Boy Who Loved Too Much, tells of the boy with Williams syndrome and the mother who raises him. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And Williams families, your thoughts are so welcome at hereandnow.org.